This is the Mahabharata Podcast, episode 97, The End. We left off last time with the story of the deaths of the Pandavas. That was the 17th book of the epic, and it ended with some final challenges for Yudhishthira. All you dog lovers will be glad to know that he broke the ban on dogs in heaven. Of course, the dog was Dharma in disguise, and Yudhishthira passed the final test of his mortal life. But perhaps because he had a singular honor of entering heaven with his mortal body intact, the challenges continued. When Yudhishthira was escorted by the gods into heaven, he did not see his brothers nor his wife. Book 17 ends with him insisting that he be brought to his brothers, regardless of where they might be. At the start of Book 18, insult is added to injury. Apparently, not only are his brothers and wife banned from heaven, but Yudhishthira turned around and saw his old cousin Duryodhana sitting there in a place of honor, a shit-eating grin on his face. Angrily, Yudhishthira turned his back on his cousin and said loudly, "I have no wish to share heaven with that greedy, misguided man. I can't believe you let him in here. He's the reason that our friends, kinsmen, and the warriors of the earth were slaughtered. He's the one who ordered that my innocent wife be dragged into the assembly hall in front of our elders. No, I don't even want to look at Duryodhana. Now please take me to my brothers." Narada said soothingly, "Come, come now. This is heaven, man. Everything's great here. We don't bring these old quarrels with us. So don't be so hard on your cousin. Look, he's worshipped along with the gods by the wise. You know the rules. He died facing his enemy in battle, so that's all that counts. By dying in adherence to his dharma, he's been allowed to live here among the gods. So let go of your old grudges. Forget what was done to you so long ago. Now go and meet your cousin and be polite. That's how things are done around here in heaven." For once, Yudhishthira did not accept Narada's advice. For probably the first time in his life, he held his ground and argued with the great Rishi. He said, "If that sinful man can get into here, if the guy who nearly destroyed the earth and exterminated his friends and everyone else along with him, if even he is allowed in here, then what about the real heroes like Karna, Dristadyumna, Satyaki? Where are Virata and Drupad, and where are my sons? Why don't I see any of those great men here? If, for some reason, only myself and that worm over there are allowed to live in heaven, then I don't want to be here. I would rather be with those noble souls, whatever may be their fate. If they and my brothers cannot come, then I do not want to be here either." Thinking of his brothers, he asked plaintively, "And where are my brothers? Why can't I see my wife? Heaven is with them. Without them, this is not heaven." I don't think the gods like to hear heaven being badmouthed. After all, it was the exclusive neighborhood that made them superior to everyone else. They basically told him not to let the door hit him on the way out. They said, "If you want to be with those others, then go right ahead. Just name the place and we'll help you get there." Yudhishthira wanted to immediately set off for his brothers and friends, so the gods provided him with the guide to take him there. They didn't even offer to give him a ride. Instead, he and the guide set off on foot, with the guide going in front and Yudhishthira in the rear. The pair did not progress very far before the trail began to get a bit sketchy. It says the path was inauspicious, difficult, and trodden by men of sinful deeds. It was enveloped in a thick darkness covered in hair and moss. It stank of sin and was miry with flesh and blood. Rotting corpses lay here and there, arms and thighs cut off, with entrails torn out and legs severed. It says that Yudhishthira's mind raced with many thoughts as he crossed through this dreadful place. We are not told exactly what. They crossed a river of boiling hot water and then passed through a forest of trees that had razor-sharp leaves. Along the way, he observed sinners being tortured for their past actions. It was getting clear that the further they progressed, the worse it was getting, and still they had no sight of the missing Pandavas. Yudhishthira asked, "How much further do we have to go on this path? Why can't you just tell me now where my brothers are?" By now, the local sights were simply gruesome, but then his guide stopped right there and said, "We're there." The guide explained, "My instructions were to take you this far and to stop. If you don't like it, you can always go back where you came from." Feeling lost and alone, Yudhishthira dejectedly turned to go back. But then he heard voices. Faint at first, they called to him, "Son of Dharma, royal sage, please stay a little longer. Since you arrived, a refreshing breeze blew over us. It has been such a relief for us. As long as you stay with us, our torments have stopped. Please stay a little while longer." It was heartbreaking for our hero to hear this, so he stopped and asked, "Who are you? Why do you stay here?" The voices replied, clearly now, "I'm Karna. I'm Bhimasena. Arjuna, Nakul, Sahadev, I am Draupadi. We are your sons. Yudhishthira exclaimed, What kind of perversity is this? What sins have my wife and brothers and sons due to deserve this sort of treatment? And how is it that wicked Duryodhana bypassed all such punishment? Am I just dreaming? Have I lost my mind? After puzzling over this for a while, he finally got angry. To the waiting guide, he said, Go back to your masters. Tell them I do not wish to be with them. I would rather stay here and bring comfort to my loved ones. The guide then departed to deliver his message. But he wasn't gone long before all the gods suddenly appeared. As soon as they showed up, all the nastiness and hellishness of the place suddenly vanished. A fresh breeze blew in, and all the hideous corpses disappeared. Then Indra comforted Yudhishthira and said, Come now, don't be angry. The illusions have ended, and you have passed the final test. All kings should get a glimpse of what hell is like. And all souls must experience the bad along with the good. Since you got your taste of hell up front, you won't have to go there later. We played the same trick on all your brothers and wife, so now you're all cleansed of your sins. All your other friends and allies have also gone to heaven. Indra then took Yudhishthira on a quick tour of heaven. He showed him Karna, living with his father, the sun god, and the other Pandavas, all happy and hale. He then took Yudhishthira to a special place, entrance to which he earned by having performed the Rajasuya sacrifice. Indra said, Be sure to enjoy this place. No other king has reached this level but you. Next, he was taken to the banks of the celestial Ganga. Now the god Dharma addressed him. He said, I have tested you for the third and final time. The first time was at the lake in the Dvaipa forest. The second time was when I pretended to be a dog. And the third time was your pretend journey into hell. I assure you, your wife and brothers never did anything to deserve a long stay in hell. This was just a test set up by Indra. But now it's over, so be happy. Dharma then instructed him to bathe in the celestial Ganga, and those holy waters then washed away his mortal form, and with it all his former grief and attachments. Emerging in his spirit form, he and his father Dharma then went to enjoy their position in the heavenly firmament. They beheld Krishna, now in his ineffable divine form, and Arjuna was there as well, basking in his glow. As fast as thought, he beheld Bhima, hanging out with his father of the Maruts. He saw the twins living with the Ashvins. As for Draupadi, he saw her garlanded with lotuses and shining brighter than the sun. Indra explained that Draupadi was really the goddess Shri. He said, It was for your sake that she took birth, although it was from a fire and not from a mother's womb. The god also explained that her five sons were all incarnations of five highly blessed Gandharvas. He also took Yudhishthira around to see Abhimanyu, Bhishma, Pandu, Kunti, and Madri, and Drona. He showed him all the other kings and warriors who had taken part in the war, all of whom had conquered heaven by their merit on earth. Now, jumping back to the scene of the snake sacrifice, Arjuna's great-grandson, Janamejaya, said, I still want to know more. What happened after that? Did any of them return to lives on earth again? Vaishampayana congratulated him for posing such a deep question. He said that not everyone comes back as an individuated soul. This was the sort of concept that only Vyasa was qualified to address. But fortunately, he was right there. Vaishampayana answered for his guru, saying, Each of these sons of gods eventually absorbed back into the god he had sprung from. Bhishma into the wind god, Drona into Brihaspati. Old Bhishma was a Vasu incarnate, so he went back into being a Vasu. In short, all the main characters in one way or another stayed in heaven, either taking up former posts in the firmament or being absorbed back into their parent deity. This includes Krishna, who resumed his identity as Narayan. Even all those Rakshasas who fought on the Kaurava side eventually made their way to heaven. All of them, sooner or later, made it to the region of the gods and stayed there. He concluded the tale, saying, I have now told you everything about the acts of both the Kauravas and the Pandavas. The bard, Ugrashrava, said that King Janamejaya was suitably impressed by this massive tale of his ancestors. Everyone went away from the ritual satisfied with the outcome. The king gave generously to the attending Brahmins and then returned contentedly to his palace at Hastinapur. He then concluded his telling of the story, saying, I have now told you everything that was said at the king's snake sacrifice. It is a sacred history composed by Vyasa, who is omniscient and wise. The learned man who recites this history becomes cleansed of all sins, conquers heaven, and attains to the status of Brahma. As for those of you who have listened carefully, a million sins, including the murder of a Brahmin, are washed away. The great dynasty of Bharat is the subject of this story, and because of its great importance, it is called the Mahabharata. That which has happened in this story has happened elsewhere, but anything that did not occur here occurs nowhere else. What follows is a chapter of instructions on how the epic should best be recited, and what sorts of gifts a host should give away as each book and story has been completed. When the story is done, the reciter should be awarded a prize cow with gilded horns along with her calf. He should also be given a payment in gold and some nice jewelry. Even better, you should give the storyteller some land, because he can't beat real estate. And with that, we have completed Book 18. The 18 parvas of the Mahabharata are thus complete. So there you have it. You've made it with me all the way through the world's longest epic. You should be congratulated, and I hope you have gotten something useful out of it. Having made it this far, please do me a favor and visit my blog, MahabharataPodcast.com, and leave me a comment, just to let me know you made it. And as always, thanks for listening.